Thank you so much, Tim. We were talking about leading these services, and we will have a guest preacher the next couple weeks. I encourage you to come and to hear. It's fun and it's good to hear other preachers and pastors from time to time too. You get a break from me. That's good, and may I get a break from you too? I guess. In that way. And so thank you, Tim, and then Al Johnson, and then Brent Johnson will be the service leaders for the next 2 weeks. And so thank you, men, for doing that. Thank you, all the musicians, everybody a part of these services. Lent is a special time. It's a fantastic time in the church calendar year. And we don't necessarily follow the full church calendar, but from the times that we do, it's refreshing to pause and to reflect, be it in Advent leading up to Christmas or Lent leading up to Easter. And as we discussed, the other pastor friends and myself, Pastor Jason Goodham and Pastor Rob Edwards, as we were thinking through and brainstorming what to preach on, what to teach on during these special meetings, these Wednesday night gatherings. As we thought and prayed and we tossed around some different ideas, and we landed on the seven marks of the church. And as a pastor, that's always, for Lent, you're looking for something with six or seven things, and you can have a message that way. And so very excited for this series of messages looking at the marks of the church. And so as we reflect this evening and as we come into the Lord's presence this night, let's pray as we hear his word. Oh, Father, we praise you today. Thank you so much for this season of Lent. And Lord, we praise you for the way you lead us to a time of serious reflection, a time of intentional repentance and turning to you, Jesus. Lord, we understand that you going to the cross was because of our sin, and we grieve that. And we sing these more mournful type songs to reflect upon that. We thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us insight and truth into your scriptures tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And as you see, throughout this series, there are seven marks of the church, these 6 weeks of Lent, and then the last message will be on our Good Friday service. To wrap up the seven marks of the church. And as you think about the marks of the church, and as I was dwelling upon that, I was thinking about what's up with the word mark? What does that have to do with the church? And really, the word mark, the dictionary definition of this phrase, when you're talking about the mark of a Christian, or the mark of whatever it is that you're talking about, a mark is something that shows someone or something as a particular thing or has a particular quality. So we're talking about the marks of a church. What we're talking about and looking at these weeks is this. What are the distinguishing characteristics that make up the church? What is it that separates us from all of the people in the world? What is it that marks us off as different? What makes the church the church? And there are different lists given, and really, I don't think that we should be super dogmatic about how many marks there are. I'll get to the reason why we have seven marks tonight in this series. There's a great ministry that I respect very deeply. They call themselves Nine Marks, and that ministry works with churches, and they seek to bring good health to congregations. So nine marks. Others maybe would say two marks, or another list. Maybe there's 17 marks of a church. You could probably go hog wild in marking off all of the marks of the church. The reason we have seven tonight comes from our dear friend Martin Luther, Marty Luther, as he wrote, and as he was coming out of the Roman Catholic Church in the time of the Reformation, as he was wrestling with what is the identity of the church, he took an opportunity towards the end of his life, about 6 or 7 years before he died, he wrote a treatise, he wrote a document called On the Councils and the Church. On the Councils and the Church. And in that document, towards the end of that, he lists off seven marks of the church. And so we're taking our cue from Martin Luther as he reflected and as he wrestled with what's the identity of the church? What are we doing here as a congregation? What sets us apart from the world? And so as he wrestled with that, he thought of and he wrote down a list of seven things, seven ideas, seven truths that mark off the church as unique and separate from the world. And so as he did that, he gave us a treasure that we can think about our congregation today and other congregation or churches. And so we come to mark number one, and I get to be the leadoff hitter here. And the first one that Martin Luther gives is this. And you see that as the title of tonight's message. The first mark of the church is this: God's Holy Word. This is what Martin Luther says in that document, that on the councils in the church, which if you get a chance, read it. It's a longer PDF. You can get a PDF for free, and I can hook you up with that if you are interested in reading that whole document. But as he starts into the first mark of the church, he says this: wherever you hear or see this word preached, believed, professed, and lived, do not doubt that the true ecclesia, that is the church, do not doubt that the true church, a Christian holy people, must be there, even though their number is very small. So Martin Luther is saying, the first thing, if there's any other thing that sets us apart as different, as unique in the world, is this book that we have in our hands, which is none other than the precious, holy Word of God. Not everybody has this. Maybe take for granted the Word of God. I was thinking about this, and I want to ask you, and you can tell me maybe after the service, how many physical Bibles do you actually own? Think through that way. I probably have about seven sitting in my closet in my office at church. It's old Bibles that I've moved on from that either were ripped up or just too beat up to keep using. Beyond that, we have our digital Bibles. We have every version under the sun. You can compare and contrast and look. But we have God's Word. We have the Scriptures. That is what marks us off as the church. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4 tonight. The Apostle Paul is encouraging young pastor Timothy, this younger pastor that is looking for advice, looking for direction from the grizzled veteran missionary, the Apostle Paul. And in 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul gives one simple command to young pastor Timothy. Listen to these verses from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching or sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So the Apostle Paul simply says this: preach the word, brother. You have the best treasure in all of the world. God spoke to us in the Scriptures. Preach the word. Preach the word in season and out of season. Be ready at all times. We have the word of God and we preach it. That's part of the church having this mark, is we focus on, we give attention to both the public reading of the Scriptures through Scripture readings and the proclamation, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. If we don't do that, I'm not sure we have a church. A mark of the church is to have God's word and to preach it and to proclaim it. We are bankrupt without the word of God. And notice here how the preaching also filters down into everyday conversations. Do you see how he says at the end of verse 2, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching? He's saying to young Pastor Timothy, focus on preaching the word. Take God's word and feed it to the flock of God, that is the church. And not only that, in your conversations, in your discussions, in living life together as a congregation, reprove each other, rebuke each other, exhort each other. Why do we reprove or rebuke or exhort? It's all according to God's word. Sometimes we need rebuke. We need to be told to stop. Sometimes we need correction. We need exhortation, encouragement. Do it. Let's go. Let's live according to God's word. God's word filters down into our conversations. We, as God's people, as the church, we are a people of the scriptures. And we believe that God's word is important. I love that about our congregation. I love that about the congregations we're associated with. We believe in the inerrancy of scripture, that the scripture is true. There is no error in any verse. We believe in the infallibility of scripture. The Bible will not fail in any way. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture, that God's Word is breathed out to us. We have God's Word as a church. That's a mark of what makes us different. We are people of this book, of God's Word, of the Scriptures. Luther notes also in his writing, he points to the Scripture reading, the New Testament reading from tonight, 1 Corinthians 3. And he notes this, that to be sure, not all have God's word in equal measure. Some possess the word in its complete purity, and others do not. As we look out among the spectrum of Christian churches, and we hear of what is happening in other churches, and we notice this, that not every church, they might have God's word, but are they using it properly, correctly, according to the sense of the scriptures? And we can say that that's not the case across the board. I wish that were so. He's saying some have it in its complete purity, others do not. And that being said, we should not take that as an occasion for pride. As we look out and say, we've got the purity of God, we're holding to the purity of God's word, and certainly we want to do that. But we must encourage other believers in Christ to hold to the scriptures as we have opportunity. We are blessed to have the scriptures, and we are blessed to believe those things about God's word. Now, I was thinking about this, and I'm wondering, well, what's the big deal? Is there a problem or an issue with this? Now, as I was reflecting on that, and I don't know that the problem is what we believe about the Bible, I'm wondering this, friends, that we may be hearing preaching of the Word, but are we really getting into God's Word? Are we letting God's Word get into us? Are we really feasting on the Scriptures? Have we become so familiar with this that it becomes blech? I've heard that before, maybe you would say. Now look, my goal tonight is not to lay a huge guilt trip on you, nor is it to fill you with a guilt-driven desire to change something in your life. I'm guessing that if I were to have caught you at the door tonight and asked you, how much have you read the Bible this past week? There might be a lot of blah, 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 blah. Well, I've been really busy this week, and I don't know, you know. What would you have said if I would have asked you that? If I would have asked you, how much have you read the Bible this past week? This is the mark of the church, that we have God's word. And I do want to tap into that guilt, in a sense, that you have. And I hear that from time to time from people that probably don't need to have guilt about God's word in this way. But I want to give us a refreshing reminder of how precious the word of God is. Listen to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. We heard it tonight once already. Let's hear this again. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Friends, we have God's word. It is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word, we have it and we believe that it is true. But guess what, friends? God's word does stuff. It's active. We cannot be the same person after hearing it, after reading it, after studying it. And God does amazing things through his word. He sends it out just like the rain and the snow come down from heaven. God sends forth his word and he does his work in us through his word. Do you believe that, friends? This is what makes us the church. We want to hear God's word. We want to listen to God's word. We want to read God's word. We want to study it because this is how God does his work in us. This is the primary means of grace, the way we talk about it as theologians. Everybody is a theologian. This is God's way to bring us his grace, his word. And it refreshes our soul. Yes, he convicts us, but he also refreshes us like the rain and the snow coming down from heaven. Now, you know, the snow, we're kind of tired of that right now, right? But snow is refreshing. It refreshes the earth. God's word pours down upon our lives, and it brings fruit. It brings greenery. It brings spiritual life and vitality. And most importantly, it brings us salvation. God, the Holy Spirit, takes his word and he uses it as an instrument, as a means to actually do stuff to us. The way Luther describes it, he says it's the true ointment that anoints unto eternal life. We are the church, friends. Churchy people have this mark, that we love God's word. I pray that God refreshes us with that tonight. And I know sometimes when I get kind of tired of God's word in my sinful nature, one of the best chapters of the Bible to read is Psalm 119. I know it's 176 verses, and it probably takes about 15 minutes to read through if you're to read it out loud. But that chapter is chock full of love for God's word. As we dwell upon our identity as the church, on our marks of the church, I want us to be changed in this way, to, yes, be refreshed in the grace and the truth of God's word. But I want us to think about the levels of engaging with Scripture. The number one way that people grow spiritually is by engaging in God's word. Do you want to grow spiritually, friends? Do you want God to produce his fruit in you? Listen to God's word. Be faithful to come and to hear sermons that aren't what Pastor Brett thinks or what any other pastor thinks. I told somebody recently, if I wasn't preaching God's word, I would have nothing. I would have nothing if I weren't preaching God's word. And if I'm not preaching God's word, you tell me. You preach God's word. I give you permission to do that. Listen to sermons. And if you want to hear a better preacher, find somebody online and listen to them. Go ahead. It's okay. It's fine. Listen to as much as you can take in. Get a Bible reading plan and stick to it. Maybe find something that fits your need. There are all kinds of Bible reading plans. I have to scroll through a list just to get to the one that I'm using in the app that I use. There are all kinds of Bible reading plans. get into a small group and feed on God's Word together, be it Sunday school or another similar group of a dozen people or so who are actively reading and studying and discussing God's Word together. Examine your own connection to the Bible, because this is a mark of the church, and individually, this is a mark of the Christian. We're people of God's book, of God's Word. This is our lifeline to God Himself. This is how we receive grace. This is how we get strengthened and grow in our faith, feeding on God's Word. There's a call to repent tonight, right? There's a call to say, God, I'm sorry for neglecting your word. Forgive me. There's also a call to receive. He graciously invites you to a feast. And the feast is a feast of words, His word. This is the mark of the church, the holy word of God. This is the primary and first mark of the church from which all the other marks flow. We're going to hear them in coming weeks. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your truth. We praise you for the scriptures. What a treasure we have. Nobody else has this but the church. No other religion has your word. They have other words that don't have your grace, don't have your truth backing them. But Lord, we have your word, your true word, your holy word. Lord, spark in us, renew in us, revive in us a hunger for your word, of your delectable, delightful scripture that feeds us and nourishes us. Thank you, God, for your truth and your word that tell us all of your work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.